Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I was about to say, Josh, are you going to join us today? No, not you.
I can imagine.
I love when a man so muscly has to get his clothes tailored to fit him around his arms. He's a cowboy. Tight jeans and a beard.
Nothing better than cowboy and tight jeans.
Ooh. Until you see pictures of his wife and you're like,
I know.
Down, boy.
I can't.
Calm down.
Why would he want to?
Men aren't a piece of meat.
Tis Friday. Yes, they are.
You obviously have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm tired of you, Kim, already.
His pumpkin spice lunch wasn't enough.
I just want our listeners to know that I had a pumpkin spice protein drink, and it was delicious. And it's a limited time.
Sounds disgusting.
So I ordered 4 boxes.
Oh. Does it taste like just the inside of a pumpkin pie?
Yeah, it tastes like just like a liquid pumpkin pie. It's, oh my God. So good.
How horrible.
It tastes so wrong.
I feel like I keep scooting down.
Did they have like an apple crisp one or apple cider? Apple crisp would be better, I feel. And a shake.
Remember.
I forgot to put my phone on. Do not disturb.
Let us know when you're ready,
Kim. Lord have mercy. One of these days.
I think she just does it for attention.
Yeah, that's a Leo one.
She lives at home. Oh, I need to do this. Let me...
She needs a checklist. You got that whiteout board in front of you that you never
use.
I used to before we moved here.
She don't use that. She don't use that little counter anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I never used it to begin with.
You did too?
We tried.
Like once or twice and that was it.
Used it. Oh, yeah.
And then we laughed at it as we went past the time each time. Look, it says 30 minutes. Ha ha ha.
Well, not only that, but it beeped too. And then you were bitching at me for letting it beep.
Yeah.
It's worse than that cricket.
Why would you get a beeping timer?
I didn't know it beeped.
You don't read.
You beepity beep beep.
I forget sometimes, Kim, you're not literate.
She like mustard.
Then you should probably read my mystery.
That's some
at least it'd be entertaining.
Print. That's not fine print.
It's 14. Large print. Like the
13
books at the nursing home. It's so funny. You open them up and you're like, there's like 4 letters per page.
That's what type of book she's used to, Josh.
She does the audio books.
Yeah.
Maybe she can't read.
I'm telling you.
She's stink eyes.
I know. That's the only look. She's probably happy inside. She just can't show it.
She just actually orgasmed.
Right.
You guys are ridiculous. What do you guys got going on this weekend?
I might go visit my friend. It's her birthday tomorrow.
You should go to Jacob's.
Oh, yeah.
The orchard.
I was like, you know, I don't catch their names, Kim. Why I call people daddy, because it's a lot easier to remember.
Or take her to see Beetlejuice for her birthday.
I don't know if I want to see that in theaters.
That's good.
I watched the original movie a couple times, but it wasn't like, you know, anything like that one. And oh, what's that one Halloween one? Rocky Horror. People are like real shocked that I'm not like obsessed with that movie. And I'm like, it sucks.
I don't know that I've ever seen
they
it.
They sing too much.
It's very, very odd. It's a very weird movie,
camp.
But it's iconic.
I love the guy who plays, what's his name? Tim Curry. I like Fern Gully. He plays the evil creature in that one. And like his voice, he was it. Like he's a great actor, but that movie, I just Couldn't do it.
It's just an odd movie.
Speaking of movies, did you guys see that they are going to make, I'm assuming it's a movie, I'm pretty sure it's a movie, but they're going to make a movie on JonBenet Ramsey?
No.
No.
Do you know who's playing her mom?
Who?
Guess. Who would you guess?
Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms.
No. Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that's going to be good. She's a great actress.
She's very good. Mr. Ramsey is going to be played by, I can't think of what his name is. He's a British actor, though.
That leaves it wide open.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can't think of what his name is, but Melissa McCarthy's going to knock that sucker out of the park, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Wonder who Jean Billy is going to be played. I mean, probably someone who we don't know yet, because she's little.
Probably a child. It's going to be on one of the streaming
places. I hope a child.
Oh, did you see who's
Glenn Close?
Did you see who's in the Beetlejuice movie that I just seen? You know, the girl that plays Wednesday.
Yeah,
she's in it.
Oh, that's cool.
She does really well in those. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the Wednesday series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I wish they'd hurry up and come out with another one.
Mm-hmm. They've only had another one season, don't they?
Yeah, just one season.
They greenlit season two. It just hasn't came out yet.
Yeah, I feel like they greenlit.
I've seen the first season like two or three times.
Me too. It was so good.
Have you watched the new Lord of the Rings?
I have not. I was about ready to mention that. I just saw yesterday. I thought it came out in September. I didn't realize it came out the end of August. But I'm now that I've already missed like two episodes, I'm just going to wait till it's all out.
It's more. I think you probably would have missed like four or five.
Oh, shit.
Because a new one just released yesterday, and I'm like, biting at the bits. It's good.
I'm going to wait till they're all out so I can
You
kind of
know
it.
Who everyone is.
Yeah, I saw Tom Bombadil's actually in this one. Finally, they put him in screen form. He's such an important character in the books, but not even mentioned in the movies. Mm-hmm.
All of our friends cannot see. Well, some of them can if they're watching the video.
Listen, we have hobbies.
But some of them cannot see how bad my eyes are rolling.
The world of J.R.R. Tolkien is fascinating.
It is. I like a good story.
I read the Silmarillion this
summer. Shut up. You listen to smut books. You have no room to talk about our choice in books.
Well, Josh listens to them too.
At least these are filled with involvement and a story.
I only listen to the ones that have an attractive male narrator. They get real into it.
And Josh is also judging people.
They got a deep voice. And,
you're over there judging.
I like when they grow.
I'm not judging.
Josh. I do. That's my favorite thing. When a man growls in your ear.
Just not slaps you upside the face.
That's too far.
We learned that one.
Right. Too far. Pineapple.
Pineapple.
I'm just kidding. My safe word, suffer and succotash.
How could you remember that? And
that's what Sylvester's.
I wouldn't be able to say it right.
The cat always says all the time, suffer and succotash.
I know who says it.
Well, I hardly ever have to say it.
I wouldn't if you.
I'm real fun.
I would not remember.
So I'm supposed to donate blood next week.
Oh, why?
Because people need blood. When they're in accidents and stuff, and there's always a shortage, Kim, because I'm a decent human being. Yeah, you know nothing about that.
They would never take mine.
I think you have the blood that most people
universal.
Can take.
Yeah, I think so. But I was wondering, and I forgot to look this up, but I know that for a long time, gay men weren't allowed to donate blood.
They changed
blood.
It, sadly.
Did they?
I hate it. That was my
That was the reason.
I got a text not long ago from somewhere in Wabash. They were doing a blood drive, and I think it might have been Chelsea who texted me. It was, you know, a Wabash city number, mm-hmm. but I thought it was like an automated thing. So they were like, hey, you should come to this location to donate blood. And I was like, can't, I'm gay. And then they responded. It was like, actually, they changed it. You can. And I was just like, block. I'm like, I've donated blood, twice in my life. And the first time I passed out because my blood sugar or something dropped. And they didn't give me that cookie soon enough. And then the second time it just traumatized me because it was my senior year of high school. And at that point I was sexually active.
But you weren't out.
Yeah. And they.
Your best friend didn't even know, did she?
Yeah, she did. Oh, she did okay. Since we were 12. But. You know, it was just in the gym at tables, you know, no privacy between you and this nurse who's asking you these questions. And you fill out the form, and Have you been sexually active? Have you been sexually active with another male? Has another man penetrated you anally? Yes, yes, yes. And then she loudly was like, you answered yes on being anally penetrated. Is this correct? I'm like, yes. Well, you can't donate blood then. I'm like, oh, like just wanted to just die. Like yeah. just read, like just outed me.
Should right have slapped her in the face just like that man slapped you.
And it was very busy, you know. It was a yeah. high school and a lot of people are donating blood. So like every single person in that gym heard.
Did you beep beep?
I was like, no, I'm like, well, I'm out now. How you doing? It kind of traumatized me.
I wouldn't blame you. I've tried a couple times, but every time I did, they said my iron wasn't high enough.
My iron. Flame.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, at least 2 years ago, it was still illegal. Maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That gay men who were sexually active could not donate. But what was weird to me is that they still, like, blood has been for a long time screened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if there was a disease of some kind in the blood, it's always screened by right. everyone. So, I mean, it would be caught and thrown out.
Right.
So, it was just kind of stupid for me. It was just
a prejudice
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And that lady, I could tell she was very religious and prejudiced against homosexuals. Oh, bless her heart. I'm like, then why are you even here, honey? Like,
right.
I think it's weird how any nurse can be prejudiced. Mm-hmm. Like, you're here to, you're
not your job.
Purpose yeah. on the earth is to just help heal.
And, mm-hmm.
like, I hated it so much because I could tell that she derived, like, some sort of sick, twisted, like, godly enjoyment from, like, out. Like, she knew what she was doing. I mean, she was our age now, 30s to 40s, I'm mm-hmm. assuming. And, like, just the. The look of satisfaction on her. Like, I wanted to just reach across that table and smack the piss out of her. You know, out people in high school.
She's probably very lonely now.
Oh, I bet.
No friends. She was probably really religious at that time.
I bet her cats have eaten her.
Probably.
Speaking of cats eating.
Oh, God.
eating you. You know, in Beetlejuice, you know, they go to the great beyond.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there as how they died.
The waiting room.
Yeah, the waiting room. One of them was a lady that had a cat chewing on her leg, and you can see her bones. And,
oh my god!
Yeah, she had two or three cats. It was funny.
So I've learned a couple things this week that I wanted to share because you know, just sometimes you just learn random facts that you'll never use in your life. But
yeah, my favorite.
These I feel might be useful for people. But I was this week years old when I learned that when you brush your teeth. You shouldn't just be brushing them side to side.
Up and down.
You do.
No. Down. No, you do not. Circles. You were supposed to be brushing in circles, like up at the top and then up at the bottom, not together. And the reason is because when you brush your teeth, you're getting rid of germs and all those right. things. But the brushing in circles is what releases that from your teeth. If you're just brushing side to side, it's not necessarily going to release those germs from your teeth.
I learned that off to Grandma's house we go with Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen from the 90s. In the beginning, they were
I must have blocked it
talking
out.
About that.
Yeah.
Go figure.
But I thought that was, I mean, so interesting. And of course, like toothpaste is only for the purpose of the friction.
Yeah, and you only need a pea-sized amount of toothpaste.
Yeah, I don't use
commercials. Much. They use like that huge amount to like trick people into using more to buy more.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I always thought, growing up and, you know, for a long time, that the toothpaste was what was important to clean your teeth.
Oh, no.
Like that it was the toothpaste.
It's just like you minty, know? You know. To
yeah. But what fresh. Actually cleans your teeth is the actual friction of the movement.
Yeah. About that.
But I also learned the another more thing. You know. I know. Well, this one really got me. So I learned that when we wash our hands, for everyone out there who does wash their hands, if you don't, you're dead to me. But for those of us who wash our hands, I always thought that I had to have the water as hot as possible, as hot as I could stand it.
Cold is better.
And I also thought that the soap is what killed germs on my hand.
Well, if it's antibacterial, yeah.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be using antibacterial. No. Because, of course, it will dry out your skin really bad. So it's
plus, if you're using hot water.
Yeah. But what I learned was the actual getting rid of germs is when you are using soap, just like you would use toothpaste, and the soap is just allowing you to have friction.
Yeah.
And the movement of your hands and scrubbing your hands is what actually releases germs off of your hands and down the drain.
Yeah, because more germs can live in hotter conditions versus cold, which is why, like, you can drink if the further up north you are, like if you're somewhere like, I've seen a lot of videos more recently, people drinking glacier water. And a lot of people are like, oh, what about the bacteria? I'm like, it's too cold for there to be bacteria in that water.
Well, the cool or hotness of the water doesn't really matter because, again, how you're getting rid of the germs is the friction of washing your hands and then rinsing them down the sink.
I know with showers, too, you're not supposed to take a very hot shower because you're just basically taking out all of your oils and stuff in your skin.
Yeah, and it raises your blood pressure sky high.
So you get dry skin, and that's why people get itchy.
You're supposed to take a shower that's as cold as you can stand it.
And lotion, you know how with chapstick, if you keep using it, you basically get addicted to it to where you have to use it. Well, it's same with lotion. People that put lotion on, once you like get in the habit of it, you have to keep using it because your skin stops producing it naturally. It becomes expectant to use that. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Have you I'm super dry all the time.
She's crusty.
Do you use lotion?
Not all the time, no. Mm. Every once in a while.
She uses that cheap lotion, too.
No, she does not.
She's Bath and Body Works.
Yes, right. She's a Bath and Body Works girl.
I can't stand all that smells on lotions from Bath and Body Works. It just, every time I'm just like, I'd rather just smell nothing.
I put it on my hands and I spray myself before bed each night. I like to go to bed smelling pretty.
Oh, my God.
That's nice. You know, you lift open the covers to turn over at night and you're like, coconut.
Emily likes coconut. It's her favorite.
I bought like a summery one in June. I love the smell of like suntan lotion, like coconutty suntan lotion. Mm.
So now you need a fall one.
Yeah. Probably an apple cinnamon or marshmallow campfire.
Wasn't it grandma who always liked the apple one?
Yeah. Well, as she got older, all she used, and I can't stand the smell of it anymore because every older woman I know uses it, Japanese cherry blossom.
Oh, I never liked it to begin with.
I can't. That and Victoria's Secret love spell makes me dry heave because that's what our high school smelled like.
Yeah, right. I used to have that.
Girls would come out of that gym smelling like BO and love spell.
Shane, am I crooked again?
No. Okay. I mean, I wish you were. You'd probably look a little better. But
have you guys ever smelled mothballs?
No. Why the hell would I smell a mothball?
Have you? You smelled mothballs. Mm-hmm. Well, how'd you get their little legs open?
Oh, that was good.
I've been saving that for days.
God love him.
I like that. That was good. Guys, I found out a little something this week.
Oh, please tell us.
And I wanted just to share with you some information I found. So Joshua made a comment before about how a lot of the pigeons that we see in modern times are, you know, used to be message pigeons that shared messages. Well, I learned this week that here in our town of Wabash, like if you see pigeons flying around, they have big flocks of birds in the downtown area sometimes.
Yeah.
Those are pigeons. And if you go on the outskirts of town to the, like the silos, there'll be a lot of pigeons just chilling out. So I found a little bit of information about like where those pigeons came from specifically, because we know where they came from. And I thought it was kind of interesting to know, and no one else may care about this, but I would like to share. So here in Wabash, we have these large flocks of pigeons, which is what it's called, a flock. That's what I'm going to call whenever we hang
all
out.
All birds are
a flock.
Not really. A flock of crows is called a murder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. A murder of crows. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so while some people may enjoy watching those pigeons, a lot of people, of course, see them as pests because they do cause some damage to crops and to buildings. And I remember when I lived in a downtown loft here in town, they had these little trees in the downtown.
Oh, yeah. Poop
and,
on you.
Oh, my gosh. Those birds would just flock into those trees and just poop all over your car, over everything. I mean, and there were so many, it was so loud.
Well, they all came from the domesticated pigeons, because pigeons, that's why they dwell near people, because even though it's been generations since they were domesticated, they still have that in them, like, oh, people means survival, like food.
Well, these
I have a
pigeons,
real issue with pigeons.
These pigeons here, they all descended from, as you said, domesticated birds that became feral. But specifically, the ones here were homing pigeons that were released by Detroit racing clubs. This was right prior to World War II. And a homing pigeon is a type of pigeon that's bred specifically, and they're trained because of their ability to return home after they are put off in long distances.
Yeah.
So that what they, I don't know if you know how they do this, but they actually use Earth's magnetic fields and along with landmarks in order to be able to figure out their position and where their position home is and then just fly there. They also use the position of the sun. That also helps them get oriented to where they need to go. But they, of course, in past times, we used them to carry messages. And that was especially important during wartime.
Yeah.
But a lot of people now don't realize how much they were used in racing. So they were used to race. And so the ones here, that's kind of where this came from. So the racing ones were released far away from their home. And they would release all these pigeons to see who would get back first, basically, or how many would come back and how quickly they would get back. And it was, I mean, people could bet on that. Like, you know, how quick are these birds going to flock back? And those homing pigeons were actually able to travel hundreds of miles in order to return home, which is crazy to me. Like, especially now, we have to use a GPS just to go 30 minutes away because we might get lost. But these homing pigeons,
you have to do that. I don't.
You don't know everywhere you're going.
She's been around forever.
If you're familiar with a little area, you may not need to use it. But anytime you go to Indianapolis, you're using it. Or Fort Wayne, you're using it.
Or Squirrel.
Fort Wayne, I do. But or the Amish grocery.
But it's just according to where you know. But you don't go 200 miles without using, you know, figuring out where you're at. And we have signs. You know, and you can pretty much find your way around streets. But, I mean, they don't have that. They can't read signs. But how that all started was Belgian immigrants in Detroit have popularized using homing pigeons to race. And that was a sport where, as I mentioned, pigeons were taken lots of miles away and then released, and they would race back to their home lofts. Well, here in Wabash, which is 200 miles from Detroit, it was a major railroad hub here. And it was also a popular release point for those very pigeons. And this was particularly right before World War II. The Detroit racing clubs would send their pigeons here to Wabash via the Wabash Railroad, and the birds were then released at daybreak, and they would arrive in Detroit overnight.
Wow.
And that's how quickly they could fly back to Detroit, 200 miles away.
Lord.
Yeah. So upon release, those pigeons would often circle landmarks in the downtown area is kind of where they released it. So they it would, you know, circle the area for a moment. And it was kind of like get its feelings, get its range about where it's going to go. And then it would suddenly, they would all start flocking and flying back home. And there was at one time a record number of pigeons released here. And it was 7,000.
Wow. Gross.
Yeah, they were released them from the downtown area in August of 1939. Well, it was also common that some of those pigeons would become disoriented. I mean, imagine 7,000 pigeons. You're trying to figure out how to get back home.
Right.
Be a feeding frenzy for birds of prey.
Yeah. So you're just getting disoriented. Well, those pigeons wouldn't make it back to Detroit. So, of course, they're, you know, living in areas. Well, a lot of those would stay here in town. And so the pigeons that you see now are descendants. Most of them are descendants from those very pigeons. They would stay in the tall buildings around Wabash, like the courthouse tower, which, you know, is over the entire town. And they would go to grain elevators. And, you know, because again, those were big things and that's what they enjoyed. But those disoriented pigeons became a part of the local birds in our area. And so the ones that you're seeing now that are pigeons are likely descendants from those racing pigeons.
How about that?
Yeah.
I know when telephones and stuff became more popular almost overnight, all these millions of homing pigeons used around the country were just tossed outside and they had no survival skills. All they knew was people mean survival and I can get food and, you know, as time passed, that's why you know, like, you're not going to go into the woods in the middle of nowhere and you generally won't see pigeons because they stay near people because mm-hmm. that's just a trait that's been bred into them. Like, oh, can't survive without them. But then people see them as pests and a nuisance. And I'm like, I think it's quite sad. Like, mm-hmm. they literally can't live without us. I like right. to feed them.
Well, that, better that's than probably, seagulls. But that's probably also why they stay, because they also yeah. have people feeding them.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are very pretty. Collars and stuff.
They are, but they always give me the creeps. And the only reason that they give me the creeps is because when I was a kid, they had come out with a movie called Pearl Harbor. And in that movie, after they had bombed Pearl Harbor, they didn't want the Japanese to get a hold of the pigeons, the carrier pigeons that they had. So the man that owned them walked out and snapped every single one of their necks Aww, and killed them. So now every time I see a pigeon, that's what I think of. And I forget. I don't remember how old I was. I know I was pretty young. But ever since then, just pigeons just really creep me out. I can't do it.
I forget what queen it was. I think it was a Scottish or Irish queen, but she
was her name Mary.
No, but she actually used pigeons in war and burned down an entire city. She had all these thousands of pigeons released, but before they were released, she had them caught on fire.
Oh my
God. So as they panicked and flew into the city, like onto these, you know, thatched roofs of all these houses, mm-hmm. and caught them on fire.
Oh my God.
And I also learned this week that ravens are actually brightly colored. Like other animals who can perceive color more than our eyes can, they would look like a parrot almost.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, sometimes when the sun hits them, you'll see like little bits of greens, right. or blues, mm-hmm. or purple. Well, that's actually their true color. Our eyes just don't have the ability to see
that
the color
spectrum
detail.
Of color.
Yeah. So to other ravens and other animals, they're like tropical, freaking beautiful birds.
That's crazy.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Where did you learn that at?
Honestly, I can't remember. I watched so... Like, anytime on YouTube or any, like, I watch a lot of David Attenborough. Anything that's, like, a 10, 15 minute, like that's how I knew about pigeons, homing pigeons. Because it was, like, the sad history of homing pigeons. And I was, like, let me read that. Sounds sad. Made me, like, oh, poor little critters. They were just tossed out and didn't know what to do. So, that's...
They survived.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People now look at them like rats with more wings is what I hear them being called a lot. And I'm, like, it's... Literally our fault that they're a nuisance.
I also think that originally pigeons were, like, their natural habitat was by, like, cliffs.
Yeah.
And so you can also think that if that's their natural habitat, cities would be the only ideal place, you know.
Yeah.
Or grain lofts, which are really high also. If that's the, you know, internal feeling of comfort for them, that's probably also another reason why they like to stay in cities and grain lofts.
It's probably why we have such a large population of large birds of prey in this area. I know we have a mated pair of bald eagles and then mm-hmm. hawks out the wazoo. I'm always seeing huge red-tailed hawks around here.
Mm-hmm. Last week when I was on my way home from here, I was on whatever that highway is on the other side of the fountain. I was on it and caught a glimpse of a bird out at the corner of my eye, and I looked, and it was a bald eagle. It had been sitting in a field.
Yeah. On my way back from Alexandria yesterday, as I was driving, when I got closer to Wabash, I saw a bald eagle take off flying, and it flew just parallel to my car. I was just like, hey, how you doing? I'll whistle at them.
I didn't realize how big they actually were and how big their wings were until Shane and I had went to, there's an eagle's nest not too far from my house.
Huge.
And him and I went to go see if we could find the eagles. Well, there was one perched, you know, right beside the river. And as we were passing it, it took off and we're both like, whoa, because it was so big.
It reminds me of the stories about Mothman.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
well, normally when you see them, they're so high up, they don't look that big. And then when you see them up close, that's why when I taught my dog, when she hears me say predator, she gets right by my feet because an eagle could easily, I mean, mm-hmm. there are some, the harpy eagle, the largest eagle species, I've seen videos of them lifting off toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it dropped it before, you know, it took off, but there's another species in South America that I think it has a 6 to 7 foot wingspan, and I've seen videos of them picking up fully grown deer because their hunting technique is to pick prey up, take it up real high, and then drop it to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had this fully grown deer by its head and lifted it like it was high off the ground, and I mean, it killed it. I'm like, that's too big.
You can also like, you know, get a realization of how big they are when you realize how large their nests are.
Yeah.
Because if you see their nest, which is usually not near the road, it's normally off in the field or something. But then, like, when you see it, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a big nest. But then, like, also, like, if you get up close to it and you see how big that tree is.
People can stand in them. They're so big.
They're huge.
Yeah, I've seen numerous pictures of people standing in it.
I like big birds, but it's the little birds that fly at your face and stuff that I don't care for.
Or poop all over my car.
Yeah. One got in the house once, and all I had on hand was a laundry basket. Well, my intention was to, like, trap it in the laundry basket and, like, you know, somehow finagle it out the window. But it had other ideas, and it kept flying at me, and I ended up, like, gently tapping it with the laundry basket. I stunned it. That poor little thing was like, ah. I put it outside. It flew off after about 20 minutes of getting its bearings.
Poor thing. Good Lord, you about killed it.
I just barely, I didn't want to kill it. I was just like, boop. But, you know, I'm a lot bigger than that little bird. So,
Well, Kim, this is your episode today. Did you bring us a mystery?
Does that mean I have to stop crocheting?
Unless
you have it memorized.
I mean, I don't have it memorized. And if you give me like 2 seconds, this row will be done.
Okay.
So I'll start it after that happens.
One of my neighbors actually used to be a falconer. When I lived in Muncie, it was a man across the street. He rehabbed a falcon that had like a broken wing, and he had trained it. And, you know, I'd just be sitting in my room and I'd see a shadow fly by my window, and he'd send it off to like, go hunt prey, and then it'd come back and land on his arm with a little critter of some sort. Even in elementary school, my first encounter with birds of prey, a man had brought, he had like owls and hawks and falcons, and I was one of the students who, he, you know, I raised my hand and I got to go feed it a little dead chicken thing.
Hmm.
And ever since then, I've been like just fascinated with them. I mean, they were dinosaurs millions of years ago.
So right.
I think the chicken is the...
Falcons were?
Most birds. Mm. I think the closest living relative to the Tyrannosaurus Rex are chickens.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
So we're eating little T-Rexes every time we have a chicken breast. Gross.
But chicken's good.
I know.
Chicken's real good.
You'll probably like lizards. Have you ever had alligator? Tastes like chicken.
No, never had it. Have you had it?
Once... In Florida.
Ugh.
It was a breaded fried little gator nugget, and I had like two. It tastes like chicken, but texturally more chewier. But once in my head, I'm like, I'm eating a lizard. I had to stop because lizard, snake, same thing.
I always said like, frog legs taste like chicken too, but I do not believe it. I don't think they do.
I've had them. I have too,
and I didn't think they did.
Grandma and I would go to Chinese buffets sometimes after church, and they would have them there. And I'm like, you know, I'll try anything, almost anything once, except women. And I was like, sure, I'll try this frog leg, but no, it's veiny and gross. Tastes like mud.
He only likes one thing that's veiny.
Yeah. I don't have to consume it. No chewing required.
You're ridiculous. Today, we're going to dive deep into one of the most infamous unsolved cases in history.
Ooh.
The mystery of the Whitechapel murder. Or they called him Leather Apron, which makes no sense to me. But he's best known as Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. In 1888, London's East Side became the setting for a gruesome series of murders that shocked the world. And the killer, who became known as Jack the Ripper, was never caught. Who was this person, and why were these crimes still haunt us over a century later? Let's step back in time into the dark streets of Whitechapel. To understand the context of these horrific crimes, we need to explore the area where they took place first. The East End of London, particularly Whitechapel, was a grim, overcrowded slum in the late 19th century. By 1888, the population had swelled to 80,000. Poverty, disease, and crime were rampant, and many women turned to prostitution just to survive.
Look at her acting like she's showing how to pronounce.
What is this word? What does this mean?
I don't know what this word is.
What is that? I don't even know what that means.
Hooking.
Let's see. You'd think that I would be able to follow along with my thumb and know where I stop at, but that just doesn't happen.
Normally, you use two fingers.
So women turned to prostitution to survive. It was a dangerous place, and there was violence was committed, and life was cheap. Over 1,200 women were working as prostitutes, and the economic hardship forced people to sleep on filthy log homes floors for just a few pennies a night. So they would pay just very little to stay in really bad conditions.
I know for like half a pence, the real poor people could pay half a penny to, there would be a rope tied across the room and they could lean across that rope to sleep for a few hours each night. Like that's how bad the conditions were. Could you imagine?
That's awful. That's horrible. With this bleak backdrop, it's not hard to imagine how someone just like Jack the Ripper could slip in and out of the shadows unnoticed. But this wasn't just any criminal. This was a killer who targeted vulnerable women in ways that shocked even the hardened people of Whitechapel. The murder that took place in 1888 were especially brutal. Five victims were widely believed to be the work of Jack the Ripper. These victims, Mary Ann Nichols,
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I wish I had Hormone Harmony when I was younger and still on my monthly visits from Aunt Flo. They were always the worst time of the month for me. And then when that monster menopause came creeping around, it was no different. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was tired of suffering through hormone changes constantly raging in my body. I wasn't sleeping. I was always getting hot flashes that were so bad that I swore I started smelling bacon. Whether your Aunt Flo is still paying you a visit or you want some help unmasking the menopause monster, Hormone Harmony has made it easier than ever. They're zero sugar, gluten, and dairy-free, non-GMO or third-party testing products help trap the symptoms of hormonal imbalance. Hot flashes and night sweats, feeling groggy, poor sleep, racing thoughts and low moods, uncomfortable gas and bloating, or even a low sex drive. Hormone Harmony can help with all of that. Don't you think it's time to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. And use the code MYSTERY for 15% off today. The same name sounds familiar.
Nichols is the same last name of one of the redhead murder victims.
Ah, that's why. Okay. Mm-hmm. Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Edowes, and Mary Jane Kelly are often referred to as the Knishall Five.
Did you used to get real sweaty and nervous when the teacher would call out who want to read next? Mm-hmm. See, I was the one that's like, let me do it. No. They're illiterate.
I couldn't do it. I had a hard time. Now, each murder was more gruesome than the last, involving deep cuts to their throats and horrific mutilations to their abdomens. The first victim, Marianne Nichols, was found on August 31st, 1888, in Bucks Row. Her throat was slashed and her abdomen was ripped open. Just a week later, September 8th, Annie Chapman was discovered with similar injuries on Hanbird Street. Her body was mutilated even further, with parts of her organs removed. This led many to believe that the killer was medical or anatomically knowledgeable.
A doctor or a butcher.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Edals was both killed on the same night, September 30th, 1888. Stride's body was discovered at 1 a.m. in Dutfield's yard with a single clear-cut incision, measuring 6 inches from her neck, which had severed her left carotid artery.
God. But if a man measured that, I'm sure it was 4 inches.
No, if a man measured it, it would have been a lot bigger than six.
No, Kim, think this through. If a man had measured that, he would have measured 6 inches.
Yeah, you're right.
It would have been really 4 inches.
You're right. Okay.
I hate when I have to explain jokes to Kim because it makes it less funny. Good gosh.
You think I'm bad? You should have seen Amber. She was worse than I was.
Well, I wonder where she got it.
Let's see.
Why don't you go join her?
Notice how she picks on Amber. Can't defend herself.
I know.
At least we pick on Emily, the one who can tell us to F off.
Yeah, right. That's true. The absence of any further mutilization to her body has led to uncertainty on whether Stride's murder was completed by the Ripper or whether he was interrupted during her attack. So she wasn't as mutilated as what the other ones were. So they're not sure whether he was interrupted or if maybe he wasn't the one that done it to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Small blessings, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. And Catherine was brutally murdered 45 minutes later, and her mutilations was even more severe.
Yeah, to make up for lost mutilations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably mad.
Probably, especially if he was interrupted.
Yeah.
So I know most killers, it's not just, I'm going to kill. Like, it's a psychological satisfaction and almost sometimes they feel deserving of taking that life and, doing what they do to them, depending on the killer. So I'm sure he was, pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was cut from ear to ear. And some of her organs was actually removed from her body. Ugh. The final victim, Mary Jane Kelly, was discovered on November 19th, 1888. Her body was so mutilated that even seasoned investigators were horrified. The escalation in violence, especially in the case of Mary Jane, made it clear that the killer was becoming bolder and more dangerous. Now, Mary Jane Kelly was generally considered to be Ripper's final victim. However, there was some other ones that they thought could have been his victims, but there was, so those five had mainly the same type of injuries. And although these other women were done around the same time, they didn't have the same type of injuries. So they thought maybe that could have been him, but most people don't think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rose Milet, the Millet. Strangled body of 26-year-old Rose was found on 20th of December, 1888 in Clark's Yard, High Point Street. There were no signs of struggle, leading the police to initially believe it was an accidental hanging or suicide. However, faint cord marks on her neck suggested a strangulation. But they didn't think that she was part of it just because her injuries were inconsistent. Now, Alice McKenzie, she was murdered shortly after midnight on the 17th of July, 1889 in Castle Alley, Whitechapel. She had suffered 2 stab wounds to her neck and her left carotid artery was severed. Minor bruises and 7-inch superficial wound were also found on her body. There has been debate among experts and writers whether this murder was the Ripper killing or an imitation.
Copycat.
Yep. Imitation.
No, I always thought, if I'm ever murdered, I hope he's at least attractive. At least, I wouldn't want to be killed by some ugly guy.
I mean, you would hope that the last thing that you'd seen would be something
I'd feel more
good.
Special if he was attractive. Yeah.
Now, on September the 10th in 1889, beneath a railway arch on Princhen Street White Castle, there was a torso discovered. They never did find its head. It was of a woman between the ages of 30 and 40. The body had been extensively beaten and mutilated, but her genitals were untouched because the other five had had wounds to her genitals. Mm. Now, Frances Cole was found on the 13th of February, 1891, with her throat cut under the railway arch in Whitechapel. She was discovered by P.C. Ernest Thompson at 2:15 a.m., and though still alive, she died before medical help did arrive. Now, there's also some other ones that happened around that point in time, but none of them really was enough to make them think that they was close enough to even being his. The other ones that I just said, there's a possibility that they could be, but the other ones aren't.
I know there were believed to have been multiple copycats mm-hmm. around the same time. Like, he started it, and then other people were like, kind of like how, you know, there's some people obsessed with serial killers in a bad way.
Like the Zodiac.
Currently.
Yeah, like the Zodiac, yeah. Now, the investigation into the Whitechapel murders involved extensive house-to-house inquiries, forensic examinations, and interviews of over 2,000 people. Jesus. Suspects are traced and examined, and there were over 300 people investigated, with 80 people detained. Rewards for information were offered, and a vigilance committee was formed to supplement police efforts.
That's a lot of police manpower, especially for back then. Mm-hmm. You know, they really didn't do as much as they do now. They just mm-hmm. kind of kept the peace
right.
a little bit, but whew. Especially, what'd you say? There were 80,000 people in that area?
I forget.
It's not like a huge...
Yeah, 80,000.
...spot.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It wasn't too awful big. Now, one of the most fascinating aspects of the Ripper case is the media coverage. The name Jack the Ripper was popularized by a letter that was sent to the Central News Agency, known as the Dear Boss Letter. This letter, signed by Jack the Ripper, was likely a hoax, possibly written by a journalist to sensationalize the murders and boost newspaper sales. It worked. The public became obsessed with the killer. Then came a letter that was named From Hell, which was sent to George Lusk, head of the Whitechapel Vigilance Committee. The letter contained half of a human kidney, supposedly from one of the victims. While the authenticity of this letter is debated, they helped solidify the idea that the murders were the work of one sadistic individual.
Ugh. That's just nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The big question is, who is Jack the Ripper? Over the years, there's been countless theories. Some suggest that he was a local butcher or doctor because of the precision of the mutilations. Other point to high-profile suspects, including royalty or famous writers. One popular theory is that Jack the Ripper was a man named Aaron Kosminski, a Polish immigrant living in the Whitechapel at that time. Another theory points to a man named Montague John Dewart. He was a barrister who committed suicide shortly after the final Ripper murder. Still, others believe that the murders were the work of multiple people or that they were part of a larger conspiracy. The identity of Jack the Ripper may never be known, but his impact on history is undeniable. The case marked a new era of criminal investigation, with the police using techniques that were cutting edge at the time, like criminal profiling and forensic photography. There is the last lady that they think was actually done by him. When I was looking, I was doing the research, and I was looking at Wikipedia. They actually have a picture of her.
Oh, wow.
And you can't even, she's unrecognizable because he beat her face in and everything.
I think all those photos should be removed from the internet.
Like, I agree. I don't think they should be there.
If either. I was butchered like that, I don't right. want my photo all over the place.
Yep,
who I does? Agree. Absolutely ridiculous. I know there are some podcasters who have used like victims' photos like that.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
Trash. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drives me nuts talking so much. Throw me a mint.
Now, don't throw it to me. Hand it to me.
I was about to say, Cam.
I said,
tell me how you want it.
I said, hand it.
Yeah, I don't like that. Even though it's been, you know, a long time.
You're just going to leave that back there?
My little arms can't. That's how you get ants.
Yeah, I can't reach it. Hang on.
Even though it's been such a long time, those people are still deserving of respect and dignity.
Yeah, and everyone is.
To use their photos like that, especially on, you know, a news station or a podcast. I just, I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
I That's agree. Undignified.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think it should be there. Oh, I caught that one.
Do you want a candy, Josh?
No, thank you. I have one. I got me out a grape earlier because I didn't want it to get eaten.
Because it was the last one.
I don't like orange or citrus.
The grape is my favorite.
Okay, where was I? Jack the Ripper's notoriety also set the stage for modern forensics with the serial killers. From documentaries and films, Ripper has inspired countless works of fiction, and his story continues to captivate people around the world. But at the heart of it, we must remember that this is a real tragedy involving real people whose lives were violently taken in the dark, desperate streets of Whitechapel.
I know, like, you know, women who are so desperate and in need of survival that, you know, they're having to go to sex work.
It also said when they were talking about the investigation and the different techniques that they were used, I thought I had put it in here, but I must not have. It was the oldest recorded profile was done on him.
I've looked in, because I covered him on Rotten previously. I know that, like, he just suddenly quit killing. Mm-hmm. They think he was either killed, or had moved along somewhere. And because of the brutal way he killed his victims and that the fact that they were sex workers, that his mother possibly had been a sex worker or that he had a, they believe he had a horrible relationship with his mother and viewed her as like a whore, basically.
Right.
Which I ain't nothing wrong with.
So on Unmasked, we're going to talk a little bit about the suspects and a little bit more about the letters.
Oh, yeah. The Dear Boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was three of them.
It's a very fascinating story, especially for back then. Throughout history, you know, murder hasn't always been, like, people used to not, you know, care about trying to solve it. It was just, oh, they're dead. Everybody, you know, we're lucky to live to be 40 at this day and age. And that was around the time that really started to change. I did not know that they put that much police manpower into him. Like you said, 80 people were arrested. Like, I mean, that's impressive
that's
in itself.
Yeah, that is big for back then.
That shows you how much the media had sensationalized it to where the police probably felt pressured to, you know, give answers. And I know, you know, the whole city was just living in constant terror. People weren't leaving their houses at night, especially if you were a woman.
Yeah.
And so that means, you know,
worker.
The later victims, how it really shows you how hard up they were to survive. Because, you know, even with all that, knowing that they could possibly kill, being so desperate, well, I gotta go get five dicks today to make rent, you know? And, I hate that.
Well, also on the other coin here, I'm sure at that time that then made sex workers really, you know, feel unsafe and nervous because you never knew who was going to be next.
Right.
And who does that impact more? Probably men. So a lot of those men who were in power are probably like, well, look, we're going to have to fix
this. We got to solve this.
We got to solve this or we're not going to have sex workers.
So I can't go see Mary Sue
anymore. Yeah.
My balls are bursting.
Yeah, I don't like my wife at home and, you know.
Yeah.
But I think at a certain point, and maybe that was the way in England still, but women really only had two choices. You could, if you wanted to have a profession of some kind, you know, maybe your husband died, you don't have a husband, whatever the deal is, you could be a teacher.
A nurse or a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
Or and back
a
then,
sewer, you could be a seamstress
what
too.
What year was this?
1888.
So back then, nurses really weren't seen as a good profession. And in fact, a lot of nurses were sex workers who were brought into the nursing field and then supervised by medical professionals as doctors. Yeah. So for a long time in our history, nurses were looked at as not how we look at them today. For example,
not respectable.
Yeah. For example, now we respect nurses so much that for the last 20 years or something, you can rate like what profession you think is the most, like the kindest, the hardest working or whatever. And for the last, I think it's 20 years or something, that profession has been voted as nursing, except 1 year. And that was in 2001 because of the Twin Towers. So firefighters got voted as number one, the most respected. But then by 2002, that changed back to nursing.
Well, that was also a time when women did have another option to go work in those like horrible factories that they had, you know, the matchstick girls. But even that,
and
they
children.
Were so abused and mistreated and overworked that at least with sex work, you know, you're your own boss. You get to make your own hours. You get to choose which one of the gross men. I mean, all you were risking was murder and some syphilis.
Mm-hmm. And there were so many different people that they named as possible suspects. The one that I didn't see when I was researching it, I don't know if I just didn't see it, just didn't look at the right place, but I know that we had talked about when you did the H.H. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that at some point there was a conspiracy that he was the one that was actually
because a lot of people say that there's evidence that he was in England at the time the Ripper murders were happening.
Mm-hmm. And I wish they had DNA back then. Well, you know,
yeah.
The would have preserved it. Yeah. 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 But if it was Holmes, then there's this question of like, would he have been as comfortable in the streets of London? You know, but I mean, if you are someone like people assume Holmes was, you know, maybe you would be. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's definitely an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most interesting one to me.
But with Holmes, it's really hard to separate fact from hearsay. You know, because, I mean, even if you look at old news articles from Holmes or whatever murder it is, even I'm sure with Jack the Ripper, you get a lot of sensationalizing. So although we use old newspapers as a resource, it's kind of difficult to like sort through, well, what here is fact and what here is hearsay.
To sell papers.
Just to sell papers, more papers and get people more interested.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you kind of have to like have those glasses on knowing that there's going to be some sensationalized things.
Oh, yeah.
And then think, okay, well, at the base of this, what is accurate and what is factual? Because, I mean, maybe I'll talk about it in Unmasked. What one theory that I think has some weight to it, in my opinion, on Jack the Ripper, and it's a lot different than I'm sure what a lot of people would suspect. Okay. But we'll talk about it on Unmasked since we're already over an hour.
Oh, wow. That's fine. That went fast. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I told you last time I was going to make a new segment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what it's called?
But of course.
Jinkies, say it ain't so.
Oh,
Lord have mercy.
So what this is stupid laws that are still on books.
Oh, yes.
Fun. Yes. So all the ones that I picked today are actually from Indiana.
Oh, nice. Are you saying we're backward?
I know. PDA is one of them.
As I should.
You either have to pick kissing or having a mustache in the state of Indiana. It's illegal to choose both.
I'll pick kissing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never see a mustache on me.
But you're kissing mustache.
Oh, yeah.
You're not breaking the law.
No, you're not.
You used to be.
Look at me, an upstanding
citizen. relatively.
For a change. Yeah. You're not allowed to spit on the sidewalks of Terre Haute.
That should be everywhere in the
world. I know. I'm going to move to Terre Haute. I can't stand saliva. People spitting.
This is my favorite one. In Warsaw, it's illegal to chuck your couch at your neighbor.
Gosh, dang it.
What I love about these is someone had to have done it for it to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Warsaw is just barely north of where I live.
Yeah, and that's another reason I picked that one, because it wasn't too awful far from here.
I go up there to Lowe's all the time.
I forget where it's from, but there's one that's, you're not allowed to carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket. It's against the law.
How did they know that? That's where I always carry mine.
Right. I thought you carried yours in your front pocket.
State government officials may not participate in private duels.
Yeah. That checks out.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. Duels used to be very deadly.
Yeah.
Forging a check in the state of Indiana is punishable by 100 floggings. Josh, don't go writing a bunch of bad checks.
Oh, no. I know our last stepfather got in trouble for that a few times.
I wish I would have done that.
Did he get flogged?
I wish.
That's funny.
Well, they should.
If we find him, that means that we can flog him 100 times legally.
Well, you know, in the Indiana Constitution, it says we could do this.
Yeah.
And you don't know how bad of a rabbit hole that is to start looking at those things, because then I started looking at them and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Next thing I know, an hour later, I'm like, I just got to pick a couple.
There's so many.
There's mm-hmm. so many of them.
And they're so, you know, unused that many of them are still in law today just mm-hmm. because no one's taking the time to take it out.
Well, shoot. I mean, it's so hard to get laws passed because people can't agree with each other. So, I mean, of course they're not going to take it out because that means they have to work together to get something mm-hmm. removed or taken in or whatever.
Some of them.
I think that spitting one, that should be a worldwide law.
Should be, mm-hmm. yes.
I couldn't help but laugh.
Next time I'm in Terre Haute, I am going to spit, though.
Forget them.
Right.
You know what made me think of doing this? Maya.
Maya.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time we would go to a new state, we had to look up stupid laws like and that so that we could break them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of them.
So this one's for you, Maya.
That we passed through a town in. It was you couldn't talk to someone else's
Your best husband. Friend's boyfriend.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So then she went ahead and talked to Maya's boyfriend at the time and.
Some politician's wife was pissed.
Another one was you couldn't yell something out the window.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I remember we did it a lot.
Yeah, so we went ahead and rolled our window down in the car and started yelling it. It was something silly. Yeah, that was a fun trip.
It was a fun trip.
Mm-hmm. Breaking laws.
Every time I'm doing this segment,
she could have been deported.
You hooligans.
Deport her back to Norway. Mm-hmm. We're tired of her.
Yep.
She's here for our jobs.
So every time, Maya, you hear me do this segment, I'm thinking of you. All right. So we have a few announcements. Don't forget, come and join our Patreon. There's two reasons why we need you to do the Patreon now. Number one, if we get 15 new members of Patreon, Shane is going to do a mystery while Josh is making me up in drag.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do it live.
Yeah,
I might let some of our patron members pick what we do. Like, I'll give them a couple options on the wig, a couple options on the outfit.
Okay. And, yeah, that would be fun.
Like the colors I use in your makeup.
You should let the VIP patrons help you with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'll have
like a green wig and I have a brown one too that's long and I'll style them up and we'll
you
let
could
them
do
vote.
It. Do like just do pictures and let them vote on Patreon. That way you don't have to.
It's a gnat on my damn wall. Leave me alone.
That way you don't have to bring all of it here.
Yeah,
when to do it.
I'll just post some pictures and let them. We'll let our patrons decide mm-hmm. what kind of woman okay. Kim's going to be. Go.
All right, so that's not the first reason why you need to join Patreon. The second one is it's spooky season, and for Halloween we're going to do a pumpkin decorating contest. The three of us are going to do one for bragging rights, and the patrons are going to get to vote on who has the best pumpkin. And then we're going to let the patrons do them, and I'll have them send them to my email address. I'll post them all on Patreon, and then everybody can vote on who's going to win that. And they'll win some fabulous prize that I still got to figure out is. I don't know what it's going to be yet. So there's that. Don't forget to do that. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. Don't forget all about that. And come and visit us on mysteryinc.com.
It's mysteryinc.com.
It's mystery. I always forget the it's. Why do
well,
I
I've been doing
it
2 years.
I know. Well, I haven't. Yeah, I've only been doing it about
You've
a little
been
over
editing
a year
the whole
now.
Time.
Right. Like she's not been listening since the beginning.
You used to
I
just,
mean, there was a couple that I sat in on too.
We used to talk shit about you and you went here until you edited.
Right.
That's true.
And then
too.
Text us, you bitches.
Yep, that's right too. But come visit us at our website, itsmysteryinc.com. There you're going to find all of our old episodes. You'll find pictures of us.
That's our merch store. You can get us get cups. You can get Josh's little necklaces, his little dicks. I'm sorry, you won't get my BVDs because they sold.
They've been sold.
They're going to get shipped out today. Coffee cups. We got the coffee cups too.
Yes. All right. Personalized t-shirts. And if you're an attractive bearded daddy, hit me up on Instagram.
Or he'll meet you on X.
Keep trying.
One of these days, you never know. I'm real easy.
We've heard. He just doesn't like to be slapped.
You don't have to buy me dinner either because I don't eat before.
Post dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to do Unmasked.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Bye. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.